Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape.
Hark the herald angels sing.
Wow, Merry Christmas.
It's Christmas time. It's coming. Yes. It's been everywhere in front of us since the second after Thanksgiving. So here we are, early December, and we have a Christmas carol, a classic being told at Carnegie Stage.
We both saw this one. Yes,
it was good
being
out with you, yes.
I loved it.
So your thoughts?
My thoughts. Well, you know, a Christmas carol has been done so many ways, so many times. There's the musical Christmas carol. There's the one that's non-musical. There's the one they try to make light and funny and Scrooged by Bill Murray.
I love that. That's my favorite adaptation of it. Yeah.
But this one is the first time I've ever seen a one-man show of A Christmas Carol.
Yes. I love this story. It's a great story. And because it's been, you know, recycled so many times, you know, in some adaptations it kind of loses its teeth. It's a very deep and poignant story, and with some very, very poignant themes. I love this story. And I think that's why it is so easily adapted, because it is so good.
Yes. You know?
And timeless, of course, which is a word that we throw around a lot. To adapt this for the stage for one performer is a daunting task.
Yes, and especially when you adapt it and you also perform it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
this adaptation by Mark Coffin, he was also the one man that performed
it. Yep, adapted it. It was adapted by Mark Coffin as well as Heidi Mueller-Smith, who was the director, and performed by Mark Coffin. I don't know if it came off as the strongest adaptation of this story. Again, it's a huge undertaking to put this on one actor, no matter how skilled you are as an yes. actor. And Mark Coffin certainly is. And you can tell that this is a man that loves this story, too.
Yes.
You know? So with all the characters and all the depth, I think again, no matter how well you do it, some of that does get lost when you're carrying it all on your shoulders as one performer. But you're certainly skilled at transitioning through all of those characters,
yes.
and delightfully so, and very organically, I thought, too.
Yes, I like that very much. You could tell so easily who he was when
right.
he was changing from character to character. It was very clear.
And, you know, some one-person shows, I think they can get a little hokey when they're, you know, changing from character to character. It's sort of like, they'll be saying a line here and then, I'll change here. But he was just so very fluid and honest. You know, I think about the transitions, and that made it really, really enjoyable.
And his performance itself, when you think of one person, 90 minutes, all those lines, it was flawless as far as he didn't slip one line
in the manner,
one time. He was just, it just flowed almost as though he were just perfect.
Yeah, in the manner in which he carried the show, it really was something to see. And it was, I think, you know, bolstered a bit by, you know, some of the sound effects and the video projection. I mean, that really helped tell the story. And hey, when you're one actor and basically you've got your body and your voice, you know, that really kind of helped round it out.
And there were some sounds, too. Mm-hmm. But I really liked the projection by Jesse Seedon.
Mm-hmm.
The church really, I thought, was beautiful. Oh, that actually was the lighting, though, wasn't it? The church windows? I don't think that was a projection. That was the lighting by Madeline Steinick.
Mm-hmm.
And I also enjoyed the lighting and the projection. I felt like it did so much to create not just the mood, but to make you move from place to place, almost
mm-hmm.
like you were in a different place, because it had a different feeling. You knew when you were outdoors, you knew indoors. I like that part of it. And the sound effects, I thought, were kind of interesting. They added to it that you don't often hear that in a one-man show.
Yeah. And, you know, it took a little bit of a different tone towards the end, where Scrooge has his sort of transformation.
Yes.
And, you know, Mr. Coffin, among you know, playing all of these characters, also was, you know, a narrator at times to kind of fill in some of the descriptions of what was happening. But the tone very much changed when Scrooge, you know, had his transformation, and there was a levity and a sense of humor to it. And in a sense, Scrooge almost became that narrator role, which I thought was very effective.
Yes.
You know, it's almost like the having that character of Scrooge kind of do some of the narration really worked and made a lot more sense and gave you a different insight to this. And, you know, I've been thinking about that. I wonder if that would have worked from the beginning. Could you have told this story all from Scrooge's point of view, hearing his internal monologue? I don't know. But in the last, like, 10, 15 minutes when that happened, that was, you know, probably some of the most enjoyable, lively, and humorous moments
yes.
of it.
The mood lightened so yeah. much at the end. It started out very Dickensian.
Yeah.
You know, in the very beginning, it was like, whoa, this is serious.
Yeah.
But it kind of got a momentum, and by the end, it was had a feeling of lightness and joy to it.
Yeah. I think, if anything, this piece might suffer from the grand expectations set forth by, you know, some of these huge stage productions, you know, that, you know, happen, for example, here in Pittsburgh every year, these grand musical versions
right.
of it and everything. So I think you really do need to adjust your expectations a little bit. It's Christmas Carol light, you know, by one very strong performer. And again, I think some parts of the grandness of that story do get lost a little bit in the translation here, but I do feel that if you really love this story, this production is a great treat for the holiday season.
I think so too, specifically because it's so different
mm-hmm.
than any other adaptation I've seen, and that made it even more interesting. The interesting story, a timeless story, as you said, made a little more interesting by the different approach to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the characters, again, very clear, the ghosts and things. Have you ever seen a ghost?
I don't think so.
What do you think you would do if you saw one?
It would depend on the circumstance, I think, and who it was, you know.
Oh, if it was Elvis, you'd be thrilled, right?
Of course, I'd be like, hey, baby.
So would you go with Elvis if he's like, come on, I'm going to show you your past?
If it was Elvis, absolutely.
You'd go fly around with him?
Marvin
you know?
Gaye, I'd go with him
so
in a minute.
So if you saw... If the ghost of Elvis took you to show you your past, and would you be changed having seen your past? Do you think?
I doubt it.
No? You'd be
no,
like,
because,
yep, I did that and I'm proud of it all.
No, it's just I wouldn't be where I am if I, today.
You earned this.
I did.
As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late night talk show.